This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. A recent survey conducted by the U.S. Census Bureau showed a significant spike in symptoms of anxiety and depression for Black Americans after the video showing George Floyd's killing at the hands of Minneapolis police began to circulate. We need to talk about the unique mental health challenges that Black people face in America and the need for more therapists who have a handle on this. With us today is Napoleon Harrington. He's a therapist at Ambassador Counseling and Resource Group and a former president of the Michigan Mental Health Counselors Association. Napoleon Harrington, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me, April.
Can you tell us a little bit about what your Black clients have had to say about the last few weeks and months have been like?
Wow. The sentiment has been a wide-ranging one. In fact, it's ranged from outrage and anger to sadness, and in other cases, just sheer exhaustion. But what you can find consistent in their experience is some level of pain, and not just an average pain, but a complicated pain.
I remember reading an essay not too long ago by a Black mother who has adult sons, and she found herself engaging with a sort of strange conversation with them, looking at everything that they enjoy and appreciate in the culture and like trying to read the threads of depression that might be running through, you know, not just like Twitter feeds and stuff, but even, you know, she was looking at TV shows like Atlanta and thinking about the systemic issues that young people, in her example, especially might face. I mean, the attention of George Floyd's death has brought us around to talking about police violence. But could you speak to us about the systemic issues that you see within mental health for Black clients?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a longstanding history between Black Americans and any system in America based on what history has shown us. We've had an intolerant history and an experience in America where our systemic experience of racism and other issues and challenges of being oppressed, and to use the terminology coming out of consistently of Mr. Floyd's death and many others, that we've had a foot or a knee on our neck for quite some time. So that has created a really difficult opportunity for us to try to progressively move forward in history and in our society. In fact, it's what has been the cause of a lot of the movements that have helped to progress our missions forward, like the civil rights movement, et cetera. So because of the intolerant history, there's been a very unique distrust for a variety of different systems. And unfortunately, the healthcare system is one of those. And subsequently, the mental health care system has also been a part of that. So it's made it very difficult to trust in a system that is designed to do any good for you. And if you don't have a trust in the system, you have a very difficult time being able to utilize its benefits and helping your family get to a state of wholeness and wellness.
I mean, if we think about Black mental health in this kind of systemic way, and the any number of vectors that people may feel as pressure points, what does that mean in terms of the clinical situation and how therapists need to address things differently?
Well, therapists certainly have to, first and foremost, have a level of empathy that probably has not been seen before. And I say not been seen before because we're at a very unique and a critical time. And the kind of empathy that we need to show in the world today is really critical. So clinicians first need to have that disposition. And then when it comes to speaking directly to Black issues and different challenges that we find in Black communities, et cetera, the reality is there has to be some cultural competencies that every clinician has that can speak directly to the need, or at least understanding the context of the challenges that Black Americans face in our society. Because pain by itself alone is complicated, but Black pain is exhaustingly so. And because of the multiple layers that happen within the Black context, it makes it very difficult for us to make motivation on a lot of different things. Researchers even suggest that Black pain is, the way it's treated with a subtle indifference, as if the pain basically matters less. And so clinicians need to be aware that that pain is often disregarded, and they must be prepared to address the many layers and the complexities of those issues and address them so with empathy as well.
It's kind of hard to imagine how it might be comfortable for, you know, someone who needs mental health care, who needs to see a therapist, how they might feel about sitting in an office with a white therapist right now.
Yeah.
What can we do about the need for the number of more therapists who either have cultural competency or just straight out a need for more Black therapists in Michigan?
Yeah, that's a great question, April, because it really speaks to the need of the profession of professional counseling to have, and other mental health areas, to have competent Black and brown clinicians that can speak to the needs specifically based on some of their experiences. There's an embedded understanding that oftentimes comes with understanding the culture when you share the same background. And so we certainly need a whole lot of folks who are interested in accessing the system and really willing to go into training in that same said system. In fact, if you increase the number of brown and Black clinicians that are out there, then more people will be able to see, wow, well, there are clinicians that relate to me or look like me, and I can access the care that way. And so thus, by increasing the number of professionals in the trade, you increase the interest, because now the third grader who has career day at his school can look and say, huh, a clinician's here, or a therapist is here, and maybe that's something I want to do. Maybe I want to help people that way. So that's one big thing that's important. The other is making sure that access to care is consistent across the board. And when access to care across the board is consistent, then you also increase the visibility of clinicians who are already doing the work and have been doing it for quite some time. So access to care is very critical. Training is very critical. And also understanding the context of cultural competencies is quite important as well.
Do you think that there's still a stigma within the community about seeking out mental health care?
Absolutely. It's unfortunate that mental health care has been primarily reserved or resigned to the idea that we're treating people who are quote unquote crazy. It's for people who are dealing with mental health disorders only, as opposed to the idea of promoting mental wellness and addressing maybe a problem here and a situation there so that people can participate in life with a higher quality. But there is definitely that stigma. We remove that stigma, we certainly increase the ability for people to be interested in getting the care and at least getting a session or two, which could make all the difference in the world. And I do think that the tide is turning when it comes to the stigma of mental health care. We just have a ways to go, and I'm certainly committed to continuing the work and decreasing that stigma as well.
I have a question about this that I'm not even quite sure how to say it, but given the levels of inequality in society, I wonder what we mean by wellness when we're talking about Black Americans who are looking for healing when they come to mental health. I mean, what do you imagine wellness looking like right now?
Well, I think we all learned some critical lessons when we were in kindergarten about doing things very simply when it comes to treat people like you would love to be treated. Simple messages like share, simple messages like look out for the people that you care about, et cetera. My point in that is, if we're able to focus on a message that's quite simple, the goalposts, they remain attainable. Empathy is a part of those goalposts. It's going to take a lot of courage, but if we're able to increase empathy across society, then we're going to be doing a much better job than what we currently have been. And I can appreciate the hesitancy of the question, because it is true that a lot of information that we have that exists today has been normed against white counterparts as opposed to inclusion with African Americans or other cultures. So it gives the impression that, all right, here's what success looks like and here's what you should be attaining for without the cultural context. And I've mentioned the cultural context many times because it's very important to pay attention to backgrounds and demographics from which people come from, because that helps to not only keep success as the goal, but keep success as the goal from within a perspective that's healthy for them and keeps them in a healthy state. So yeah, if we're able to keep the message simple, the things that we learned in kindergarten, then that would be very critical. And I think we're primed to be in that kind of position now.
In the same moment, do you think that we've reached a sort of generational moment where maybe Black people who would like to see a therapist or who would benefit from therapy might just be looking around at what's happening and the volume increase on the national conversation and saying, you know, yeah, I think I need to go talk to somebody about this.
Yeah. And it's interesting because there's a collective voice right now across the nation about mental health. And of course, that makes my heart beat fast because I've dedicated my life to mental health and improving the quality of care across the nation, for that matter. And so I'm very excited, soberly saying that, excited about the visibility that mental health is getting and the value of mental health care in the state of Michigan and across the nation. Now that we're talking about it more, it's becoming a very critical linchpin to making sure we progress forward. Because if you talk to any of my colleagues, you will find very quickly, we all ascribe to the idea that if there is no mental health, there can be no physical health. And the rest of your life can be quite tumultuous if you don't get your mental health in check. So yeah, we're at a very critical mass, a tipping point. I would even encourage us to look at it and such. And we're, again, in a great place to start making motivation on things that we've been talking about for years and actually get to do so. It's important to understand that the killing of unarmed Black men has, and Black people, period, it's had a collective toll on our psyche. And for anyone who cares about people, it's had a collective toll on their psyche as well. And although Black resilience is a very true element that comes from the Black community, it does not mean that we withstand pain. It does not mean that just because we overcome slavery, we're strong enough to handle the killing of unarmed Black people. And I think it's important to, if you're interested in being supportive or helpful to anyone who's looking for consolation of any sort, it's important for you to, when you see injustices, stand where you are. And I love the quote from Winston Churchill that basically said, there's a time for us to all stand up and speak. It takes the same amount of courage for us to stand up and speak that it does for us to sit down and listen. So whichever position you choose to take, be willing to take the other position to hear.
Well, Napoleon Harrington, thank you so much for talking to us about this. We really appreciate the work that you're doing right now.
Thank you so much, April.
Napoleon Harrington is the former president of the Michigan Mental Health Counselors Association. He works as a therapist at Ambassador Counseling and Resource Group.